It's not easy being awesome, it really isn't. Getting badass rides, super smoking hot babes, and fire really helps. But if you want to be truly awesome, then you need to get your booze at Riverside Wine and Spirits. Not only do they have a totally kick-ass selection, but they have sweet ass-kicking deals too. If you buy a case of craft beer, and that's four six-packs, then they'll give you 10% off. Count it, 10% off. So, if you ever start feeling lame and need a change, then go to Riverside Wine and Spirits and get awesome.
Here we are once again for another episode of the Brew Chat Podcast. And now that a couple of weeks have passed since the fact, and I'm guessing most people that do care have probably seen it by now, we're talking about Iron Fist, the latest addition to the Marvel and Netflix lineup, the Marflix. That's what I almost said. The latest addition to the Marvel and Netflix lineup. So there will be spoilers. So keep that in mind. And if you've not finished it, either go finish it or don't care or don't listen to this yet, because there will be spoilers. And so since we're talking about, you know, allegedly the greatest martial artist in the Marvel Universe, despite how it was actually shot, we thought it was a great time to tap into a few Asian beers. We've not done those at all on the show. And, you know, our selection was a little limited because, you know, there's not a ton of Asian export beers. So our selection's a little limited, but we got some Asian beers to drink this week. And yeah. So hold on to your butts. Here's episode 61 of the Brew Chat Podcast.
Make the Asian person the martial artist.
Well,
that's also been a new thing for comics and nerd culture within the last 2 years or so, is this whole social justice warrior, like, we have to protect everyone and give everyone a voice. And, like, you've been seeing it with Marvel Comics in particular.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I want to buy into it, like...
Spider-Gwen.
I don't get Spider-Gwen. Is that her name? Know her as Spider-Gwen?
Spider-Gwen.
Doesn't that sort of ruin the secret identity?
Yeah, that's like the name of the fucking... That's the name of the comic.
Yeah, but is she fighting Electro? And he's like, ah, damn you, Spider-Gwen. I
mean, who are you?
Get me pictures of Spider-Gwen, god damn it.
I don't really know the story or anything about it, but it was one of those things that it seems like just out of a fucking almost fan fiction, maybe someone decided to start.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
It seemed like someone took this piece of fan art and decided to
testing 1-2-1-2
make a full-blown comic out of it. I don't know who's writing it. I don't know who's animating it.
I'm about more, like, inclusiveness and everything, but at some point it goes to the point of comical and absurd.
And, like
the this new... is... There was a time in, like, I don't know, what, the 80s or early 90s when every poster had, like, one of everyone, and people were kind of like, that's, like, it's awesome, but that's not how it generally works in real life.
Yeah.
And then it got too white, and now we're circling back toward it again, and I'm like, I'm all for, like, more, like, diverse Avengers and everything. They're all white dudes. I get it. It's, you know, kind of old. But, like, when everyone is representing some different minority and stuff, you're like, this is cool.
I remember this from the Power Rangers.
But, like, unbelievable to a point.
Yeah. Like, the new Iron Man being a black girl, like, literally a little, like a preteen black girl.
That's pretty much that whole, That whole alternate
universe. So. Yeah.
I think they merged
the Ultimates, is that what that is?
Yeah, the Ultimate Marvel Universe. Like, yeah, they had the two for so long that were actually different, the Ultimate Universe and the regular Marvel Universe. And that's where you had, like, the hippie social justice warrior, like, wailing hunter Thor. Like, he was the guy who, like, shut down whaling ships and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And those were kind of cool comics.
Yeah.
But I wasn't the biggest fan of Marvel until, well, hell. There was The House of M.
That's pretty cool.
That show was awesome. Or show. That book was incredible. I really like the idea of Scarlet Witch's kind of unknown, unlimited powers.
Because,
granted, it's a cop-out, but at the same time, like, Scarlet Witch has kind of been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, she's one of the, like, original OP heroes.
Yeah, she is. She's like, definitely OP.
OG OP.
OG OP.
If you will.
She is. Yeah, she can morph reality to her will.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of, like, kind of the more what if and, like, things that they're not afraid to take chances with, like Wolverine versus Darkness. Like, you can make a really violent and dark comic out of a very well known character, and have it be okay because of the subtext of the other comic, and, you know, it's a one-off. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen Logan?
No.
Oh, you should see Logan.
I've heard nothing but good things. I've heard it's incredibly violent.
Yep.
And it is a perfect ending for Hugh Jackman's portrayal of it.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
It's perfect in a way that you're actually sad because you're like, I finally got the Wolverine movie I always wanted.
Right. After and now it's never going to happen again. Yeah. Now it's over.
And now it's over.
Little decades.
You showed me today that they're making an R-rated Venom
Sony
movie.
Sony is trying to do a Venom movie.
Yeah, I don't...
They're getting close to my Carnage movie that I want.
Fuck this. Fuck this. Fuck everything about this. Okay, so...
Sony won't do a good job.
Sony and Marvel agreed to play okay with Spider-Man.
Right.
And I need to turn myself way down. But, they agreed to play okay with Spider-Man.
Right.
Which includes his characters, obviously, because he needs bad guys to fight.
Right.
Yeah.
But Sony is running and making a
Venom.
They want that R-rated movie hero money.
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with the MCU, and I think that is incredibly idiotic. No matter if it's a good movie, why wouldn't you try to make it as
It's
part
got
of the
nothing
MCU?
To do with the MCU.
Nothing.
Well, they can't because Sony doesn't have any say, any licensing to the MCU. They
Unless,
just have the Spider-Man characters.
Yeah.
I mean, and we don't know. Maybe they
have
something
Spider-Man,
worked out with
X-Men,
no, they don't.
Fantastic
no,
they don't.
Four.
Fox has
X-Men.
Oh, Fox has
Fox
X-Men.
No,
X-Men
and Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Okay.
Sony just has Spider-Man at all. But
I read about this shit all the fucking time because I'm obsessed with it. And what this tells me is Marvel plays the long game.
Yeah.
You know, they
That's
started.
Why they have all
the
money. The
shit
yeah.
that is just now paying off started in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they're playing the long game, and what this tells me is, like, Sony wanted to do a Venom movie because they're like, people have been wanting it, which of course we are, but they're getting impatient because obviously Marvel's got this huge wider world that they're having to work Spider-Man into, and I'm sure they're willing to do the Venom symbiote. It's already set up that there's space travel and shit.
As long as they do
totally
it better
do
than
that.
Spider-Man 3 did.
But,
yeah.
It's not
but it's not in the cards right now for the MCU just because they've got so much up in the air juggling with Thanos and all that. So it reads to me as Sony just being impatient and getting pissy and being like, well, we'll just do it since we found out we can legally do it.
No, it's that they saw Fox make that Logan and Deadpool money and they're like, wait a minute, our rating is what makes us money? Who do we got that's not Spider-Man?
That too.
Oh, Venom.
That.
But it's the
yeah.
You can't do a Venom movie without Spider-Man.
No,
you
can't.
Can maybe, but you shouldn't.
This is what you the same kind of thing that you were telling me when I was like, I want to see the R-rated Carnage movie, which this is close, but you can't do a Carnage movie without a Venom movie.
Right.
Well,
and maybe that's
could.
The way they'll take it. Is
exactly. You could.
You could do a remake of the Deadpool versus Carnage books. That was actually like a series.
Okay, that was a series. That's true.
Or you know,
except
some sort
Deadpool's
of variant.
Fox and
oh, that's right.
I mean, I'm money can bridge all gaps, including you know gaps.
Yeah. That's very true.
That is very true.
But I feel like it is very possible to make a good Carnage movie. It would definitely be more of a cult movie, so it wouldn't be worth it for them to spend a lot of money on it.
Mm.
Kind of like what Ryan Reynolds did with the Deadpool movie. There was only like 5 sets in the Deadpool movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm. There's only like 5 sets in that movie. It was done on the cheap.
Oh yeah.
It's so good. But it's really good.
It's so good.
It's really good. They spent all their money in CG and special effects, which is probably what they should have done.
Yeah.
And it was a very satisfying movie.
Did you see it was like the leaked, I'm pretty sure Ryan Reynolds like just posted on YouTube himself, but it was like a CGI test film that they did to pitch it.
Yeah.
That got leaked.
Yeah.
And it was shot for shot. It was the freeway scene of him jumping into the Suburban. It's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was all funded on his own dime. Like, he wanted that movie to happen.
Good.
He, ever since, I want to say it was like Blade Trinity. Oh. Or
was he in Blade Trinity?
Yeah, dude. He was literally Deadpool before anyone else realized that this dude should do it. He was just a smart-mouthed martial arts badass. Wielding swords.
I don't remember that.
Dude, yeah, you should go back and watch it. It has the chick from, I think it's Dawson's Creek, who, like, runs off and, like, does Playboy.
Jessica Biel.
It might be Jessica Biel.
I don't remember.
Either way, it had, like, one of those, like...
We should rewatch those.
Yeah, we should do Blade. Yeah. Yeah, we could do Blade.
Just came.
I love vampires. Hi, I'm Will, by the way.
Will. He's been, Jared's been brother, yep. And is a returning guest. And yep. you've got a YouTube channel.
I do. Yeah. YouTube.com/ShadowLeader. Look it up. It's got a weird dude with a yellow shirt. You'll figure it out. It's a gaming channel mostly, actually almost entirely. But I love nerd stuff. I like beer a lot, and I like these guys. Yeah. So, yeah.
Toast to that,
right?
Yeah, I'll drink to that. Sure.
Yeah. What are we starting with?
So we're talking about Iron Fist later.
Yep.
So I thought it would be apropos to
apropos.
Do Beers of the Orient. Is that politically correct? Can I say Orient?
I think Orient? The Orient might be all right, but Oriental is not okay.
Yeah, I'm never clear on that.
Why?
I can say I have
It just
my,
makes sense, though, like grammatically.
Beers of the Orient.
No, I have on my grandfather's Social Security card from way back in the... Maybe it was his like draft card for World War II. They had a thing for your race, and it was white. It might have been white colored, Oriental, Indian, and then like Islander or something. There was nothing for Hispanic; like that wasn't even an option. But Oriental was the nomenclature back during the World War II days. Obviously not anymore.
Well, I remember my granddad, you know, them Orientals, you know.
When you say it like that, it sounds much more racist.
Yeah.
But then what else would you say for someone from the Orient?
Asian.
Yeah.
You say,
I think Asian. I mean,
if they're from the Orient, they would be Orientals. Or Orientalites.
Can you point to the Orient on a map, Jared?
No.
Okay. I think we stick with
it. But, I mean, it's the same thing with, like...
I think we're probably, like, New England. Like, 4 white dudes, probably not the dudes to be having this conversation.
I agree with that.
All right, fair enough.
But the beer we're drinking...
We're starting with the Singha.
A
Thai beer.
It's
actually very nice.
Yeah, it is.
It's light.
Yeah, it's not as bad as I thought it would be.
It's a premium import, according to the bottle. And the original Thai beer since 1933, when Oriental was the preferred nomenclature. For white people. I don't know how they said
it. I don't know.
I mean, for a light beer, it is nice. It's really doesn't have much of a flavor to it.
No, it's very...
call it a premium beer.
It's sort of got like a rice thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, check out the this fill and expiration date on the back of the
label.
I was
noticing that. There's no flavor text on this one.
It says EDU.
I got EDI.
Mine's
those aren't
well.
Dates.
No,
I know.
So E-D-I-Y-O-O. E-D-U.
Okay, yours is obviously a different one. I've got Phil E D I Y, possibly D C, and the expiration date is E D I Y O D.
Maybe mine's a D.
I'm not. Yeah. It's like that courier font where it's
Maybe
like,
I just can't read.
Where like auto mechanic shops print out everything, and it's just got that old 80s typeface. It's not an actual fill or expiration date. It's letters, which aren't making any sense.
Yeah, and it's difficult to tell the
difference actually between... made in Bangkok, Thailand. Super... I mean, this is pale and clear. Like, this is...
Yeah.
This makes Bud Light look dark.
Yeah. No, something about it has a familiar taste.
It's like a sake kind of taste. I think it's rice or something.
Have you ever had those... there's that duty-free store when you go to different countries.
I haven't been to a different country in a while, but I know what you're talking about.
But yeah, there's a store where you can get shit, like, tax-free and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And free of duty. And, I had a girlfriend that went to China a couple years back. Well, this was a while ago, but she brought back like a shit ton of Chinese cigarettes. They were Marlboro menthols, but they had a taste similar to these.
Hmm.
Like, they weren't good.
Hmm.
And it wasn't because they were Marlboros. They just weren't good.
Was it because they were menthols?
No, not that either. They had
Is it because they were cigarettes?
No, they had a weird... I mean, I don't want to say it, but it was like a... It didn't taste like Chinese or anything, but... I have to call it a Chinese flavor because I've never had cigarettes from anywhere else that tasted like that.
No, but you're right.
It's like a distinct Chinese.
I don't want to just assume that there's rice in this beer, but it tastes kind of sake-esque.
That's yeah. Interesting. Yeah. No.
Now
yeah.
That you say
it tastes like
I feel
yeah.
it. I feel it in the aftertaste.
I mean, it would pair excellently with some sushi or Chinese food. Like, it's got its place in the fridge. It's definitely made for Asian food, some ramen or something. Like, it would be
good with any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's definitely that sort of syrupiness to it, and yeah, just super, super clear and super, super light. But it's clocking in at
It does have a sake sort of smell.
I don't know.
And I'm not sure what gives sake that smell.
5%
other than it's made from rice, I guess.
Yeah, and it's actually out of Thailand, so I guess this is how it's supposed to taste. It's not manufactured to taste like an Asian beer.
It's just the runoff from the rice factory.
I mean, it's not bad. I've had worse.
Yeah, I've definitely had worse. Unfortunately, we can't reuse these bottles because they are engraved with the Singha.
I don't know why engraving bottles irritates the shit out of me.
I think it's so in case, like, when people peel the labels off, you know what you had. I get it from a marketing standpoint. I feel like it's got to be more expensive.
Was that lightning outside?
It was.
It was.
We're running a risk here of, like, because this building's old. My power may cut out mid.
Yes, there's some thunder.
Okay.
Now we're recording
we'll
this one on Monday.
Here, yeah.
We usually record on Tuesdays. We're doing this
Monday. It'll auto save, but
to a point.
Yeah, if there's a weird cutout for people listening, I'm just telling you, forewarning here, that's why.
Storms are brewing.
Yeah,
any of our listeners knows it looks like it's one to rain all day.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's nothing new. And it's Chattanooga where it kind of, you know, is always about to rain. It could be sunny and then start raining.
Oh, I've got a theory here where I think that, because back in the day, this was a rainforest.
Yeah.
And I don't think my own,
we
I mean,
never
this is getting this,
We're
my,
still on
my
the
own
island.
Personal theory on global warming is that it's cyclical and that we're extremely arrogant to think that we can do anything that actually affects the earth. Like, yeah, we can damage things, but we're going to be gone.
Long before the Earth's still going to be here.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm down for protecting the environment and stuff because that's protecting us. And...
Oh, yeah, it's entirely self-serving. We need to protect the environment so we don't kill ourselves.
But the planet itself, I mean, it's sort of a living thing, and it's got its own
shit that
it does. Like,
yeah, it'll course correct.
Yeah, it changes and morphs and does all this, and millions, billions of years ago, this was a tropical rainforest area, and already, I think it's a deciduous rainforest is what it's classified as, but I think we're slowly starting to go more tropical. You can plant a palm tree outside here, and it's pretty fine year-round.
Yeah. You can leave a cactus out there all year, and it
It's perfectly fine.
Now, we just don't want nature to course correct itself on a path that's like, we should get rid of the humans.
Yeah.
Well, from what I understand, on like a solar system scale, we are still like kind of just barely out of the ice age. Like, oh, still yeah. kind of shifting out of that. And so we can't really expect to know what's in our future. We really shouldn't be able to expect to know what's in the future of the planet. I mean, there's a reason why chaos theory exists, because nobody fucking knows. It's space. Yeah. And, like, science. Long, far beyond our comprehension, like, this has been a thing since God knows how long. Literally.
Yeah, since forever.
Literally.
Since
forever.
As long as there's been, like, recorded history.
Not before recorded history, as long as there has been
exactly.
anything close to a history. Like, it's incredible. It really is. But
this beer has no smell.
We can't really expect to know what the planet's going to do with us or to us.
Yeah.
Like, for all we know, we could just be some relic that something digs up 100,000, a million years from now.
The next dinosaurs.
Maybe not dinosaurs, but like...
like human dinosaurs.
Shit, like the Protheans from like Mass Effect.
Huh. Yeah,
like except for we shit. Wouldn't be nearly as badass because we wouldn't have left like fucking light speed travel nodes across the universe.
Right. Have you guys ever thought if like aliens were... or dinosaurs were aliens?
Mm.
Like, I don't know. It's just a different angle to think about it. I don't necessarily believe it, but it's like...
I think that, like, what, they would have had to, like, fly on a ship here?
I don't know.
Well,
like, maybe dinosaurs
maybe
are
like
way
drop
more
pods
far advanced than
like
we...
that.
I mean, sure, we found their bones and shit, but...
I mean, we can measure their, like, skull cavities and see how big their brains were. Like, yeah. I don't think we
but
made
who's,
up...
But who's to say their brains were there?
But what if their brains were just super dense and there was a lot of shit going on in there?
Yeah, that's true, too.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
someone
Alan.
Smarter than me, probably.
Yeah,
Alan... Why don't you tell us?
Well, I mean, who's to say that a big old brain couldn't fit in one of those big old heads? Like,
that's
we've
true.
Been
maybe
wrong
they're...
about dinosaurs a great deal of times.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't do the research. I know my house sigil is a dinosaur.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm coming at this completely ignorantly, but, I mean, take a T-Rex. It may have a tiny brain cavity in comparison to its body, but its brain is still probably bigger than mine. So it's if you take that strain of thought and then say, well... take my brain and put it in a T-Rex body, I'm going to wreck some shit up. And I'm going to have enough self-awareness to be like, I'm a fucking T-Rex. Like, okay, all right.
And is this where your alien theory comes in?
I don't know. It's just, it's not even theories of my own. It's just like
a red
thought, ideas, thought experiments.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
If you think about it, though, every ancient tribe kind of has some form of, like, alien deity. Whether it's, like, certain Middle American Indian cultures or Egyptian cultures, they all kind of have some interesting dealings with celestial beings. And, you know, so many different kinds of people have so many different stories about... celestial beings, things coming down from space, from the heavens, and even Christianity has a little bit of that with older Jewish stories and stuff like that. And every once in a while, like, I'm not a religious person at all, but where there's smoke, there's fire. You know, there might be something there. If all of these different kinds of people have the same, similar stories, maybe? Not the same story, but, like, similar sightings. Like, who knows that there wasn't some sort of alien intervention in our history, like, some thousands of years ago.
You know what I think? I think
but
we need to get Giorgio Tsoukalos on here from Ancient Aliens.
Obviously.
That dude with the crazy
hair.
He's
the only one that knows.
That's it.
Aliens.
Yeah. I'd love to talk about that, or talk with that guy. Or talk about that guy. I love that. If I could get a roundtable discussion with, like, him, fucking get, what's his name, that we were just talking about?
fucking
T-Rex?
No, the
yeah, T-Rex.
The trans-dimensional
celestial.
Oh, no, no.
Alex Jones. Alex Jones. Yeah, I want to go out to dinner and have some drinks with Alex Jones and Giorgio Tsoukalos. Like all together. But yeah, let's talk about this beer.
Yeah,
this is our next beer. That first one really didn't have, I mean, it just kind of tasted like rice a little bit.
It was like a rice light beer.
And that was a Thai beer. This is a Sapporo premium beer, which is Japanese, I believe.
Cloudier than the Sing, huh?
It is brewed and bottled cloudier. In La Crosse, Wisconsin, though.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
So it's a Japanese... So
it's a Japanese-style American beer.
I mean, it tastes good, that explains actually.
It does have that Japanese style, that same, like, this would go well with...
Citrusy, almost.
With
it has the semi-cloudiness and mouthfeel of a Wisconsin beer.
Yeah.
Looks like Spotted Cow.
Which that brings up... I wonder what they add to it to make it have that Japanese taste if they're brewing it up there. I mean, rice. Not that there is a Japanese rice taste, holes. But yeah, what are they just rice, adding rice to rice it? Or?
It's not bad. Again, like I could eat this with some sushi or Chinese food.
Would you say
it makes me want Chinese food.
Would you say it's the perfectly balanced taste that's irresistible to all as you share rich moments with this masterpiece of the brewer's art?
I think I prefer the Singha.
I wouldn't say it's irresistible to all, but I feel like it's not offensive to most.
I believe it would pair perfectly with some of the Chinese food I'm probably going to get on the way home for dinner now, since that's what I'm getting
yeah,
really jazzed up
kind
for.
Of
yeah,
my plan.
Seriously. That's a good idea.
I mean, it's super, like...
Rice box, here I come.
Vomit, here you come.
Nope.
Yeah, you don't eat meat. Yeah, you don't eat meat, places. So rice box is probably fine for you.
I like rice box.
I've eaten rice box meat before,
we've had
and it's been...
rice box numerous times.
Doesn't do well with you?
Not with me. I was with a friend that we had that super cracked out waitress, and then we left, and he literally like threw up almost immediately. Yeah, it's like a soup.
I'll say this. Rice box, when I get the beef lo mein, they use like pieces of steak, which I know should be a better thing, but I want like that like really... When I go in to like get some beef lo mein, like I want that sort of questionable yet insanely delicious Chinese beef. And that they're giving me, like, real meat in there makes me question it. Like, it's good, but it's not what I wanted. Like, I want China Best every time.
Yeah.
We used to have...
It's not as good.
I know.
It's not China the same.
Best. For the listeners, the best Chinese food I've ever had in my life was when I was living with Will and Jared up in Rockville.
And
the
Juan.
Exxon... And Juan. He's not at the table.
Yeah, he's
not
at the table.
He's not.
But
he's
the
not
Exxon
the
station...
How many times do you bring him
he
up?
He should be.
Across the road.
Every now and then.
Had a Chinese restaurant in it. And it was great because you could... order your food, and then you had a gas station's worth of like drink selection. So,
and it was an open kitchen. You could see everything inside.
Yeah,
and like it didn't look like anything special. It didn't look like anything unhealthy either. Like
no,
like
how
the
some gas stations
you.
Have like a Subway. Like there was just a like a big old wok going all the time with
and
Chinese
like,
food, a
couple of fryers, and
and the,
it was
the
a legit
owner
little operation.
The owner used to have a 4-star restaurant in D.C.
Huh.
Yeah,
and there's pictures of him. Yeah, they were so good, and there were pictures of him with Michael Jordan.
Yeah, and like other random stars.
And oh shit,
it was when he owned the Wizards.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah,
that's what. Yeah.
Yeah, but when Michael Jordan owned the Wizards, he was in D.C. a lot. So.
And I tell you, you had to respect him because not only were they speaking, I don't know, Mandarin or Cantonese, but they were also able to speak Spanish.
Yeah.
Due to a very large Hispanic population and English.
Yeah.
So they were juggling three languages, and it was, I mean, they knew.
Stella.
They knew us.
Stella.
That reminds me of this place. I went to a crazy Chinese place in San Francisco that it was in Chinatown, and you had to walk. I mean, it was fucking tiny. The entire restaurant. Like, they had two floors, but the entire restaurant, I'm not kidding you, was no wider than this room.
How wide is this room?
Like, I don't know. This
for
room,
everyone
yeah,
listening.
For the listeners, I think it's 12 feet.
I
think it's 12
feet
wide. And that's the entire restaurant on the interior. And you had to walk through the kitchen, past this Asian guy over here frying something, you know, and they're yelling back and forth in Chinese or Mandarin or whatever language it is. You go up this tiny... super tiny spiral staircase upstairs where the dining room was, and I mean it's super cramped. I didn't even the entire menu was in Mandarin. I just pointed at a picture. They only spoke Mandarin in there, and it was some of the best Chinese food I've ever had. It was delicious, but I don't really know what I got. I think it was chicken.
I had that at a Korean market up in Ellicott City in Maryland. I went with some people who knew what it was, and they just, I was like, this meat is delicious. What is it? And they told me not to ask. But I ate it. It was so good. It was black, though. Like, it was the darkest meat I've ever had.
Charcoal and it was delicious. Chicken.
No, it wasn't chicken. This no, was they it was something red ask. At one point. But I was like, Lisa, what is this? She's like, oh, don't worry about it.
Like, are you I'm not like dog? Are
I don't know. I'm just shoveling into my mouth because it was
donkey.
Good. Whatever it was,
is it
was
horse?
Good.
Like I could know. Deal. I could deal.
Could have been
with
goat
like,
penis. I don't know, but it was great.
Okay. Yeah. I could
some
deal
Rocky
with
Mountain
like,
oysters.
Yeah.
A not house pet.
Yeah. It's, like I certainly wouldn't. I would like want to eat that, but it was good.
It's weird because like I've heard that dogs can tell like if you eat dog. Like, they can smell it on you somehow, and, like, they know to stay away from you and be wary of you.
Interesting.
If, yeah, you've ever ingested
I bet if
dog.
You're sweating it out. But I don't know if you saute it with enough onions, do they know? I have no idea. I'm not advocating eating house pets by any means. I would not do that. But whatever I ate was delicious.
Hey, man. When in Rome, right?
Yeah, it dark was. Meat. Yeah, when in whatever, Rome. However they prepared it, it was good. And now we're on to the Lucky Buddha.
Oh, the Lucky Buddha, my
Lucky
favorite
Buddha.
Bottle.
The Enlightened Beer.
Which, yeah, I'm not going to lie, these bottles are cool as
they're
shit.
They're awesome.
Yeah, they're really... I have one for saved. Those listening, if you've never had a Lucky Buddha beer, it
you've
comes
seen
in
it.
A, yeah, you've seen it. It's a neat bottle that's, you know, it's shaped like a green Buddha.
Yeah.
Which is a green bottle, which I know we gripe about a lot on here.
Also super clear, very much like the Singha. The Singha is probably just... half a shade lighter.
That's a very
this is
crisp,
super clear,
almost yellow beer.
Yeah, this is the lightest of straw colors.
It's crisp, but there's that like dank flavor.
Yeah,
and not in the greatest way.
Yeah,
it's
crisp
like a crisp
and
but
bitter.
Musty.
Where's this coming from?
That's what I was about to say. And this one is actually from China. And who wants to give a go at the name here?
Lucky Buddha.
Now, here, I'll do it. See, it's brewed and bottled by Cheer Day Brewery.
Right.
Hangzhou,
it's not bad.
Shunan County, Zhejiang Province, China.
That sounded all right.
I think that
I haven't seen it written down, but that could be a... Yeah, without seeing it written down, as far as I know, you pronounced it correctly.
Yep. There's a bunch of X's in there.
And it's imported from Carlsbad, California.
There's no reason there wouldn't be counties. In
I've always liked that name, Carlsbad.
It's a good cheese.
Yeah, I like that. I would name a
and
child
an excellent
that.
Soup.
It's got a big old,
I don't plan on
big old Buddha
children,
belly.
But I would name
big
a child
Buddha
that.
Bottle.
But yeah. No, it's they've got some flavor text here.
Lucky all right,
Lucky Booties, Lucky Buddhas,
Lucky Booty.
The Lucky Booty, Lucky Buddha's generous girth embodies the ideals of the good life. Rub his tummy and channel his infectious good fortune. It's said to bring forth luck, good fortune, longevity, and happiness. Brewed in China's Thousand Island Lake using the finest quality malt, hops, rice, and water from this pristine region delivering an Asian lager that is truly an enlightened brew. So it looks like
sounds good
Asia,
to me.
See, instead of like yeast, maybe they're using rice?
Is there no yeast on that ingredient
no.
list?
No, it's just malt, hops, rice, and water.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Interesting. But, yeah, I wish the beer was a little bit better for how great these bottles are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's
really
what
cool
I say,
bottles.
Though. If they can sell these
tasted...
cool bottles at a normal beer price, what does that say about the beer?
Right.
Like itself.
Because you can't recycle those.
One,
like,
why
who's
do
you
sort
that
enough
you
can't
to, like,
any
know
these
to
bottles.
Send that back to...
Why do you
like,
think they have
the
cool
it.
Bottles?
So that you buy
marketing?
The beer. Yeah, marketing.
Because the beer's not that good.
Mm-hmm.
That's but from a price point.
Yeah, they got to have special, you know, molds for these bottles.
Yeah.
Like, if I were them, I would... I'm not in charge of their marketing, but I would throw it in a 4-pack and lie and bump that up to, like, $12.99. Just so people are like, it's an... well, obviously, it's expensive because look at that bottle, and there must be good beer in there.
Yeah, and then you push it to a point where it's like, it's not that you don't like the beer. You don't understand
it. You don't appreciate
flavor.
It, all right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much for you to handle.
Yeah. All right. This is from the Orient. You uncultured swine, unable to appreciate this beer.
It all comes full circle.
Oh my god.
Speaking of full circle and balance, Iron Fist.
Oh, you made the segue.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Well, do we have any final thoughts on the beer here?
I would drink the Singha. I think that's probably my favorite one.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Sapporo's just kind of...
I really like the Sapporo at all of them.
I feel like the Sapporo's cheating. Ever since
Brewed in Wisconsin. Come on, Sapporo. I'll go with that's
the
true.
I'll give it to
the bottle. But I do like... I love the Buddha bottle. I don't know if that makes it better than the fake-ass Sapporo, because the fake-ass beer and the cool-ass bottle.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. Those are tied for third.
And this and the Buddha's from China.
Because they both deceive me. Although that is from China. Yeah, I'll put that in second place. Lucky Buddha, second place. Okay.
But yeah, Iron Fist.
Yeah, so
Marvel's latest entry into its Netflix series, and The Last Defender, as Facebook keeps telling me.
Yeah, so which it's gotten a little bit of
there's
bad press. I don't think that it's definitely my least favorite of the Defender series, the Netflix series. But I didn't think it was bad. I think first of all, my biggest problem with it was I think the characters. A lot of the characters are really hard to like. You grow to them, but, and I'll say this, and then I'll give it to y'all, and you can rant. But I do have a lot of faith in Marvel's ability of character development. You know, because they play that long con.
Fair enough.
They've got, and I don't know if that's something they consciously do, and it could be a mix of where they're correcting themselves later on, or whatever. But they spend a long time developing their characters out.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in this, you get a Danny Rand that he's not at his full Iron Fist capabilities. Like, he's not went through all of his training and shit. He left Kunlun before he went through that.
I get that, but he's been training not as the Iron Fist, but as a ninja for, 15 years?
Yeah.
He leapt over a car in the first episode, so we established he's got some moves. And then never does anything remotely like that again.
He fights at the end.
I feel like the elevator scene...
The one we didn't see too much of?
You saw most of it, where he's sitting there fending off the Axe Gang.
Yeah.
With
that
Chicken.
That was pretty cool.
I saw a lot of jump cuts. I wanted to see the Daredevil style, actual knowing martial arts.
Okay, yeah. So here's something I wanted to touch on. I feel like the actor that played Danny, they had just taught him Kung Fu and said, all
right,
go out in the camera,
right.
go out in
yeah,
front of the
they
camera.
Yeah, they were cut short, I think. They only had like 3 months to teach him.
And so he definitely looked like he just learned Kung Fu. And so he was rigid.
You're right.
You can notice that as the episodes went on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he started to get more comfortable and more fluid. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like the choreography started getting better. And even the shots themselves, like the cameraman figured out how to shoot him and shoot the things around him because he didn't have weapons. A lot of the shots were tighter and closer because, like, you didn't have to capture all these, like, swooping, like, motions and, like, giant arcs. Like, Danny's more flourishing moves, he would just spin in the same area. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't have to, like, you know, just tighter camera angles altogether. The choreography...
Well, that's an easy way to cover up bad choreography.
That is true.
And I'll say this, and this was one of my problems, but could have been solved with this. He didn't get a goddamn costume.
No, he didn't. The only costume you saw was in the video.
Yes, you did get to see the Marvel comic version of Iron Fist in the video from the 1940s.
The one who wasn't Danny Rand.
Yeah.
But you know what would have solved the martial arts thing? Throw that yellow do-rag on his head, put a stuntman in there, and now we have...
That's true.
Our entire... We can get the fight scenes we deserve instead of... And I agree, they did what they could to, like, sort of cover up that they taught this dude Kung Fu 3 weeks ago, which isn't fair to Finn Jones.
Yeah, I looked it up. It was he had 3 weeks of training before they started filming.
Give him a costume.
He was taught the choreography right before the scenes.
Give him a costume. The character a costume.
I gotta...
Throw in someone who knows the moves, teach it to Finn. I would hope they would teach it to Finn Jones
have a lot
eventually.
More respect for him now, knowing
that's
all
what
that.
I was gonna say. Yeah.
But like, put like an actual dude in there, so we don't need to see his face necessarily. But you slap the dragon tattoo on his chest, and now we can have the fight scenes we deserve instead
show,
of like working around that.
Yeah. This show suffered too, from what I've been reading. Out of all of the Defenders Netflix shows, this one got hit with budget constraints harder than any of them. I guess because Iron Fist isn't as popular.
Yeah,
like,
nobody knows who he
is.
He's
kind of coming out of left field. There's not any other real properties with him that exist other than comics and cartoons. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why, but yeah, it was
not
hit
really,
really hard
cartoons.
With budget constraints.
I don't think he ever had his own
cartoon.
Yeah,
he's not really. He's
oh,
in
you know what,
like
recently,
a Spider-Man one or
yeah.
something.
Recently, that, yeah. that's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's something. But that's why they tried to characterize everyone so much more. And that was one of the things that I disagreed with Jared about. I feel like the writing on the characters is fantastic. You're not supposed to like any of them. They're fucking shitty people.
Oh, I love the Ward character.
I agree with that.
I love the Ward
but
character.
I would say the problem was Iron Fist was the least interesting person
he
in
was.
A show that is called Iron Fist.
He All was right, pretty yeah. uninteresting. Like, not uninteresting, just like, I don't know, I just didn't like
uninspired.
His character. I thought he was
like,
annoying.
Was definitely,
and,
yeah. It's okay. So,
oh, I took a vow of silence. I'm gonna bang out this girl.
The celibacy. But
so,
yes.
Well, I took.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
so that was
not
only
silence,
for his
celibacy.
Training, though. If you think, if you think about what he actually said, it was just for his training.
Because
he said
yeah.
he took a,
so
he took
he
a vow of silence. He
it.
Took a vow of celibacy.
So
like, he took
was
all these vows while he was
terrible in
training.
Bed, though.
I mean, probably.
Yeah,
well,
sure.
No. He's a martial artist. He knows rhythm. He knows how to fucking. He knows how to hit stuff. He can hit it.
Yeah,
he can hit it.
I gotta say that does. I see what you're saying. I disagree entirely. He's probably mechanical and knows how to hit it, but he doesn't know how to hit it.
Like, no, I
you're trying to get a fight over as quick as possible. Like you're not in there like doing rhythms and. Like,
fair enough.
No, one thing that bothered me because I've almost watched it through twice. I was like making sure I really watched it for this podcast. I was hungover one day and plowed through it. And then started rewatching it a second time. And I like it more the second time. I'm probably about halfway through. I like it more the second time. And a lot of things make more sense the second time, where the first time it seemed like some stuff was just kind of thrown in there. And but one thing that really bothered me the first time that you touched on, Alan, was Iron Fist just makes decisions that don't really make sense for somebody that's had that training.
Yeah.
And that sort of bothered me at first, but then after watching a second time and learning more about the character, not just on screen, but also reading more about the character and learning a bit more about him, it's a kid who, you know, witnessed losing his parents in a plane crash at 10, and then was picked up by these mysterious monks. He's been locked away for 15 years.
They whipped him and stuff, too.
Well, and I'll get onto that part of the whip. Training, I'll get onto that whipping thing in a minute. Like he wouldn't have those social skills. Like he wouldn't know any better.
Yeah,
I get that.
Yeah.
Can I just ask a question? You've watched it twice. What does Rand the company do?
I think they're just a huge conglomeration. They've got pharmaceuticals. They've got they probably have some manufacturing.
They give people cancer down the road. Like
from the pharmaceutical company.
So they are like that's their thing. Is they do pharmaceuticals.
I think because there's that whole thing where he like cuts the price.
It's a chemical
plant,
which is a terrible business decision because weirdly they explained it, but they explained it like. We're gonna this pill's $5. We're gonna charge $50 so that we can fund additional research and line our pockets. Which obviously the lining the pockets is the evil part. But they specifically called out funding additional research.
Yeah, they were
so
for like years.
Like, we're gonna sell it at cost. I'm like, okay,
bro,
maybe
man.
Not 50, but like it's $5 a pill. Maybe 10, 15, 20.
Yeah,
like,
sell it 20.
So let's cut the profits out of it. But can we do
can
need
we
to
still,
fund additional research,
we gotta,
Danny?
We gotta pay people.
Yeah, we're gonna do all your overheads and pay your scientists. But you do want to solve other diseases other than the one I think they made up for that pill to solve. Like, there's other things you need research, bro. Like, I know you've been living in a monastery and you read an Iron Man comic book and you're like,
I know
we're
you
not
own
doing 51%
this of the company, but
yeah, so like
that's
have a little
too,
profit
though,
for the
like,
research.
Yeah, he's essentially an idiot.
He is. Yeah. You know, he is an idiot.
It's so hard for this company.
That, but he just, he's been locked away for 15 years. So you only know what you know.
No, I get it. He fights so hard for this company and then never shows up to any meetings or does any work, which confused
me. Oh, yeah. From the corporate perspective, he's a dick.
He just needed the money. Yeah. That's why.
But he had
he came back. No, it was about his name.
It was about
his name. And then he does nothing with his name. I got all this money.
Well, and then he started figuring out that the hand was part of was his, you know, it wasn't the money because he had the money, it was his name, and he figured out the hand had infiltrated and whatnot.
It was his name.
That's true, he had the money.
He was using that, though. He was like, I'm Danny Rand. I got all this money. Let me stay here. I'll pay you in advance. I promise. Like, he didn't say it like that, obviously. Yeah, yeah. He kind of comes off as douchey.
He almost did, though.
He pretty much did.
Yeah. He offered to.
He's a super douche.
Yeah.
He's like a nice guy. He comes off as douchey.
He just doesn't have the social skills.
Yeah. His heart is in the right place. Okay, so
his heart is in the right place. I'll give you that.
So think Goku from Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. Where
terrible father.
He grew up his entire life knowing nothing but fighting.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But he has such a kind heart and caring and willing to protect. And so when I can like get rid of my dispend my disbelief. I start to think about, like, he is kind of like Goku. He's like the ultimate fighter who can't lose, who will rise to every challenge, not the brightest person because all he's ever done is fight his entire life.
That's the analogy. Yeah. I'll give you that. Goku was a little more charismatic. Like, there was something about Goku, though.
People
seem to like him. Mm-mm. Or listen to him. Like, I like your analogy. You're winning me over on that one. Goku could at least pull off a charming smile and get people to follow his lead.
Goku didn't show up at the first board meeting and fucking change everything.
And swing his big 51%
balls around.
51% shareholder dick around.
But when you look at that from the perspective of a fighter, like you were saying, you know, he realizes now, it's like, okay, I've got 51%. I've got this power.
Mm-hmm.
I can. And to him, what he was doing was right. His heart was in the right place. But he's not been around. He wouldn't understand the business side of that.
Yeah.
So he comes in just saying, like, no, I need to do the right thing and help these people. Here's, you know, and I've got the power to do it.
Oh, absolutely.
So from a fighter's perspective, it makes sense.
But I'm just waiting
for
someone. From
a corporate perspective, it's a douche move.
I'm waiting for someone to lean over and be like, bro, I feel you on, like, not charging $50, but if we charge $20, like, we can cure this other plague. Like, we can cure Ebola, too.
Yeah.
Like, we're working on that, but that money's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, you realize that, right?
Yeah, we still have to pay our scientists to keep further.
I figured that was part of the $5 is if they're making no profit, they're at least paying the scientists. But paying for the research, like, that's...
No, I think it's like literally cost $5 per pill to manufacture.
Yeah, to pump one out on the assembly
research
line.
Research, too, could have been implied when he was, like, at cost. I don't know.
$10 isn't that much more, and then dump all of that. You're dumping 100% of your profits to research. Like, cure Ebola, cure, you know... Black plague while you're at it or something.
Well, that's what penicillin's for.
And it was a little thing. This annoyed me. And this, I don't know whose decision it was. And it's totally superficial. In his flashbacks, he had that same beard and same stupid like curly hair. And I don't know much about Asian monasteries in the Himalayas, but I know they shave you.
Yeah. No, they definitely
should. Yeah, he had his little frosted tips and all that stuff.
He came back looking like a homeless dude, but in the flashbacks, he had the same crappy hair and beard. When he was 10, they shaved him. I know in Kun Lun, they don't let you grow your little Jerry curls like that, all right? Like, they're shaving you. If they're going to whip you, they're going to shave you against your will, white boy. Like,
well,
it's
okay, here's where I'm going to get into talking about the whipping. I wish there were more of those flashbacks to his training.
Yeah,
you know, I really wanted a whole Batman Begin style monastery.
That's what I wanted to
montage or like flashbacks
almost,
of montage, something like that. I wanted to see his training, and all we got were scenes of him sitting in the snow, some blood.
I'm the
snow,
Iron Fist now.
Some snow that blew oddly well in the wind.
Right.
And like there was no real training. All we really got was him getting beat. But I'm gonna touch on that as the way it was filmed, and it obviously by the way you guys perceived, oh, he got beat. And the whole mentality behind that from a martial arts perspective, they're not beating you into submission or anything like that. It's all about internalizing that force. And even, yeah, it fucking hurts, but it's about internalizing that force and being able to accept the blow,
right,
but deflect that energy. And it sounds like some hooky-dooky bullshit, but it obviously, it works. It works.
I understand
and
that.
And that's what it's about, but it was filmed in a way, and because that's the only training thing we got, we're just like, no, he was beaten into submission.
Yeah, it didn't show.
And that irritated me, because it completely missed the point of why they hit people
exactly.
with bamboo.
Yeah, I mean, and I understand from a 15-year-old's perspective, of course, they're just hitting him with fucking bamboo. But, yeah, I don't know why that's the only part of that training. Maybe for some reason that's the only part of it he remembers.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he would remember the more abusive parts.
Well, and that
the worst parts of his training because
he
was at a really
short power. When he remembered the pain, he talked about, he's like, when I get hit, I can take that hit and I become the Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Like he was remembering that specifically because that helps him, you know, get into the Iron Fist chi thing. But still, I hated that it showed the
audience
that.
But then how come his powers didn't work when he got angry? And the guy and
well, he's not the Hulk. He's got to center his chi.
Yeah, he has to.
Yeah,
because when he's angry, he has to be. Think of it like a
harmed?
Jedi. Think of it like a Jedi. When he's angry, he can't control his powers.
Yeah,
he can't
I get it.
Focus. And so he literally has to remain at this, like, yin and yang chi balance in order to
and
make
he
it
didn't
work.
Finish his training, I get
and
it.
Yeah, yeah, he doesn't exactly know how to control his powers to the fullest.
So he has to be hit, then.
No,
not necessarily.
Because someone goading him on
is not going
to make him hit.
It's not necessarily that.
He has to have enough chi to activate it. Like, if you watch it, he can only do it, like, maybe once a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that's it.
And he's
like,
he's got to recharge or do his little thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the real Iron Fist, like, once he learns how to use his powers, he can learn how to recharge his chi quicker.
Yeah.
He can heal himself. He can heal others, as we were teased a little bit.
Yeah.
He can. He not only has one Iron Fist, he has two Iron Fists.
Yeah,
and two
which we
iron
saw in the
feet.
Video. Yeah.
And, you know, that's what it becomes. So this was essentially an origin story that's incomplete in that sense.
Yeah.
We did not see where Batman Begins, for example. I'm just relating Batman because it's, you know, a rich guy that goes up to, you know. In that comparison, in Batman Begins, we see Batman reach his full potential as Batman. We don't get that with Danny Rand.
That's true.
Not even finished his training at the end of that. And which makes me more excited about season two, as well as seeing him in the Defenders. It's like, figure out this training, man. Like, do some shit. And, I forgot where I was going with that.
That brings up a question for me. Can you bring girls to Kunlun?
I don't
know.
He's like, I want you to come with me.
It
she's
bothered
like,
me
ah,
that they
thanks.
Went up to the top of the Himalayas without goggles or hats. I know it was a stupid, it was another stupid thing, like, so you could see who it was, but I'm like, it's cold up there, man.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you're used to it. I got that.
No, he said something about, it was supposed to be summertime or whatever there. He said something, he's like, it's supposed to be the green season.
But you still have to climb the Himalayas.
Well, yeah, you still have to climb the Himalayas. I thought maybe, like, when it appears every 15 years, maybe it has some residual seasonal effects across that area, the Himalayas or something. But he said something about how it was supposed to be the green season.
That's true. Davos did say that it wasn't going to be there much longer.
Yeah. Well, are we doing spoilers?
Yeah, we watched
the whole thing. Yeah. Oh, by the way, spoiler alert.
Yeah, we really haven't dropped it.
Well, I was gonna put it in the intro. So
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So far, we've been pretty good at nondescript, but I really enjoyed the progression of kind of Danny's character learning about how the real world works and how he realized he still had this childish notion of what the world should be because he never grew up in what our world is and, you know, how heartless it can make, how heartless New York City can make you.
Now, he is in, like, the thick of the heartlessness, though.
Like, he's
at the top.
Like Hogarth and
I loved her character in this, Harry, but I'll get on her in a minute.
Fucking Trinity, yeah, dude. I'm so glad she still gets work.
I know.
Like, it makes me so happy. Anyway.
Yeah, you do your thing, and then I'll get on Trinity.
And I really enjoyed how, yes, he's very douchey and very childish, but that of fucking course he is, because his version of maturity is locking away his emotions, because that's just what he was being taught. But as soon as he gets to be Danny Rand, all of a sudden it's this child wonderment again of like, oh my god, this thing, and sex for the first time, and like, oh, one more tangent, I'm sorry, the Katana chick, fuck, what's her goddamn name?
Colleen,
yeah, dude.
I like
her
that lady.
Character Colleen is incredible. We want to talk about SJW shit real quick. Like, let's talk about a really, really strong female character, mm-hmm, that wasn't anything close to sexualized in her outfits. It was,
well,
all very
I did,
practical.
But that was on my own account.
But it, like, everything that she wore was super practical. Nothing with like her tits hanging out, or like she wasn't a seductress.
She
was
a badass.
Yeah,
she was
literally
a badass.
She
was her fight
she
scenes
was
were pretty
character
decent.
Yeah,
that sword fight at the end was,
yeah,
pretty
was
cool.
Fucking insane. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that sword, dude. The sword that,
yeah,
that Kabuto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the sword that he had at the end with the fucking Damascus red steel katana.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It was so gorgeous.
I did not like the actor that they got for that dude.
I felt like he played the role properly.
I was a little bothered by it, because it seemed a little ham-fisted, the whole hand plot.
Would you say
iron-fisted?
Ham-fisted.
No, this is ham-fisted.
This
but then
is,
it made sense.
I needed to explain the hand more, because like,
yeah,
as soon as he meets Matt Murdock, like, they're going to be fucking butt buddies.
Yeah, they're going to be like, yo, like, you've been fighting these crazy dudes. I've been fighting these crazy dudes. Let's go talk about some crazy dude fights.
That's what I wanted. I wanted the fucking Spanish chick, the nurse. Oh, by the way, she had a really good story arc within the second part of the season.
And she
well, hang on, hang on. Let's back up. We've bounced around like everything.
Slow down.
I'm sorry.
No, let's back up to know the hand thing. At first I thought it was a little ham-fisted. They threw that in there, but then, like you said,
you really
they
need
to explain
flesh
a little more about
the
it.
Defenders.
And but I don't know. I guess I'm okay with it overall, but I hated that casting of that main Kabuto or whatever his name.
Yeah.
Like her sensei.
Yeah.
I did not like that act. Like, he was a fine actor. I just thought it was miscasting. I had a big problem with his casting.
Well,
like,
in the beginning,
they
should have
brought in Nobu from Daredevil. Like,
yeah,
like they Nobu could have played that role
way better. Okay. Yeah,
and then it could have been like, because nobody knows that Nobu is a crazy back
from
the dead ninja.
That. Yeah, exactly.
Only Daredevil knows that.
Yeah.
So even Danny Rand meeting that guy for the first time
wouldn't
know that
that
is
out.
Nobu.
Yeah,
and I don't know
and
why Nobu
would
didn't
have
that role.
Yeah. Dramatic irony.
Yeah, exactly. And
I guess they didn't
want to flip the script too early. They didn't want to play that hand, even though they did it the next episode almost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, after introducing this guy.
You saw no one we had seen from the hand previously.
No,
we
saw Madame Gao.
Madame Gao.
Yeah,
Madame
Gao.
Who
was awesome.
We don't even know.
Who was the best part of that show.
She was great.
Outside of the show, we don't even know how influential she is in the hand.
Not anymore.
Well, outside of the show. Like,
yeah,
it's possibly
Iron Fist,
like,
or outside
Iron Fist.
Oh,
I think we know she's pretty.
Like, outside of Iron Fist, like, you watch Iron Fist, you get the idea, like, okay, she's pulling some strings pretty high up. Maybe she's Madame Crane, or whatever her name is, but all in all, we don't really know what her role in it. And I'm just saying, we've already got some established people that we know are, like, really into the hand, like Nobu, and they could have brought them in and given them a little 5 seconds.
Well, the other thing is that Madame Gao already was talking about her employers or her whoever. Like, she is not
check
the
weather
highest
here, make
in
sure
command.
We're not about to get blown
oh
away.
No, no, and they were pissed at her too.
Yeah,
and, they
and so that's
her
probably
up.
Why they left her locked up.
No, she was locked up on her own accord. She did
that,
that
oh, you
whole
think she, did she was behind
James
that.
Bond, Silva, Skyfall thing. She did that on. But she could have gotten out of there. At
that's
any
true.
Time.
Like, that's like, true.
She's
she
in a
she
room.
Said she was waiting.
Like, come on. And she's 700 years old or whatever.
Yeah.
She did that because she knew Danny Rand would come to her for answers.
And can I say they just waste a lot of screen time with things that they only do once, mention once, like the disease that was made for the drug, or the disease that they made up for the drug that could cure it, that Rand Enterprises was doing.
Oh, so that he could come in the office and swing his big dick around in the beginning, like, and everyone would get pissed at him?
So when Colleen got sick after coming home from China, I was thinking, oh shit, she got that fucking disease. And so now they're going to totally, like, bring that around full circle. That would actually be interesting. And so now he's got to go beg and plead for this experimental, or figure out a way to get this experimental cure to cure Colleen. No, it's fucking poison.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I knew as soon as she got cut by the ninja sword that she was poisoned.
I didn't realize that she got cut by the ninja sword. I don't think I caught that during the fight.
Yeah.
But
one of the only important, like, super quick cuts is that little cut on her arm.
And, okay, fair enough. But, like, yeah, they seem to do that a lot, just, like, kind of waste screen time with, like, minor details that will never be brought up again. And it almost seems like it's kind of lazy on the writing, or maybe they just didn't know what they were going to do, what kind of breadcrumbs they could leave. One of the reasons why I love comics is because a lot of different writers getting a hold of the same material love picking up on the breadcrumbs that were left from previous generations. Like the old Green Lantern stuff with, like, Abin Sur's plane crash. Like, that was a thing from, like, the
80s. That was part of his origin story.
Yeah, part of his origin story. And then, like, all of a sudden they bring it back around for, like, the Blackest Night as, like, breadcrumbs from that. You can get really creative with that kind of stuff, and I feel like the writing team just missed the mark on some of those things. But they did a really good job developing the characters, is like what I was touching on earlier, like how you despise Ward, and then you kind of learn to appreciate what he's doing. Like, they give him a very human element, and, like, you realize what it takes to live in their world, and, like, what kind of sacrifices he's made.
Is the sister, do you know, supposed to be someone specific from, like, the Iron Fist canon?
I have no idea.
Because she, what's her name?
Joy Meacham.
Oh.
Joy Meacham.
I don't know anything about the Meachams. I don't know if they were made up for this show. I don't know if they were people.
The name Meacham reminds me
of House of Cards.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
that's I have no idea if they were made up for the thing.
But, I feel like this show was a little House of Cardsy.
It was kind of a lot more boardroom political meetings and far less same publisher.
Ninja stuff that I wanted.
Yeah, I wanted ninja stuff. Not that the boardroom political meeting stuff was bad, but that's not what I wanted. I can watch House of Cards for that stuff. Yeah. I'll get more violence in House of Cards.
Getting to Carrie Fisher, that's where she shines. Like, I'm okay with those scenes because of her. Hmm. Because even if she's not in the scene, I know, like, okay, I see these dudes being, like, some hard talkers, sharp talkers. Carrie Fisher's going to come in here and rock your world here in a minute. And that's why I love her character, Trinity. I love her character for that. Like,
you're not talking about Carrie Fisher. Yeah, that's...
not Carrie Fisher, yeah.
God damn it, I can't
I was so confused for a second.
Yeah, I can't think of her name either.
Carrie Moss?
Yeah, Carrie Ann Moss.
Yeah.
Carrie Ann Moss.
Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, fucking,
she's on the wall.
There's the Asian beers talking.
Yeah. That's Trinity. I'm so glad that she's getting work again because she's a great actress. Granted, she does intense more than anything else, but, like, she's good at doing that.
Yeah.
I liked her character in Daredevil, and then she got a ton more airtime. It's the same character. Mm-hmm. But in Daredevil, like, they introduced, or not in Daredevil, but I guess it was Jessica Jones, where she first gets introduced, and that's then right. She's in the end of Daredevil season two.
Yeah.
No, she has a cameo in the first season of Daredevil, at least a cameo.
I don't think a cameo.
Yeah.
In season two, though. Yeah.
Yeah, I think she came in Jessica Jones.
Yeah, she was introduced in Jessica Jones.
But speaking of Daredevil, can I just say that I know, like, Rosario Dawson's character is the one that sort of ties them all together.
Why didn't
But why didn't she fucking call Daredevil?
Thank you. Yeah. Like, she's like, hey, she should just be okay, like, I've hey, yo, Matt, I know this dude who's got a serious heart on his hand.
Especially when she's like, I know more about the hand than you do. Yo, Madam Gal's back. We got her tied up in this dojo. Maybe you want something in on that.
Right? Yeah, I know. I've got the answer here.
I'm not going to like it, but...
No, the legitimate reason why she did not call Daredevil is A, Claire... Rosario Dawson's character, after Luke Cage, well, after Daredevil season 2, was kind of like, fuck this crazy shit, I'm out.
Right.
And then Luke Cage sort of brought her a little bit back into it, but she was still reluctant.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's sort of not exactly eager to get jumping into anything, but also...
Except when she wanted to go to China.
Yeah, when she wanted to go to China for no reason. But, and no, then, but like, here, was this, like, I regret this show coming to China with you
this
guys.
This show is where we see that transition. Which and they have to set up for the Defenders.
You're right.
So we see that transition here happen because she has to get in that mindset to be the Agent Coulson for the Netflix series and to bring them all together. So then
good for her.
You also, you've got the issue of Claire and Matt Murdock. They're not exactly on great terms. I mean, they're okay, but they're ex-lovers. So there's a little bit of tumultuousness there. And then also Daredevil is not daredeviling right now. At the end of season 2, he decided to chill out on it.
Because she doesn't know that.
She doesn't know that, but so, when you combine all three of those, of you know, by the time she realized in Iron Fist that she was like, okay, I need to get all these dudes together, it was mostly after all the shit was going down.
I mean, not when you've got Madame Gal tied. I see what you're saying, but I'm not buying what you're saying.
And then when did she know that Madame Gal was involved there?
When she was tied up in the dojo for a while and they were all sort of interrogating her,
yeah.
She could have called Daredevil and gotten him and be like, hey, man, I just got back from China. The hand's involved. I want to get out of this, but just so you know, I know you fought them. I want nothing. And she can be like, I want nothing to do with this. It's your problem now. I'm out.
Like she always tries to do.
Yeah, according to like the extra... built-in universe is Daredevil wasn't daredeviling.
She
right then.
Doesn't know that. But I, see, like, I know that, but she doesn't.
Does
so
she
it
know
doesn't...
that Luke Cage is in prison?
Didn't she say Luke Cage was in prison? I think she knows that.
I didn't
that.
Think she said that.
I'm pretty sure
but
she
Luke Cage has nothing to do with the hand.
But either way, he's a beefy dude that can't get stabbed.
He is. So
he seems like a pretty good dude to go fight a bunch of ninjas with swords.
That's so true. She can call him and he doesn't answer because he's in jail or whatever. And then she's like, all right. Maybe he wanted nothing to do with it because it's out of his neighborhood. I don't know. But she doesn't know Daredevil isn't daredeviling, and I don't believe Matt Murdock's like, I'm not daredeviling anymore. It's your problem. Like, if she was like...
no, you
remember,
fight the hand.
Remember Madame Gao, who, like, disappeared? We got her tied up in a dojo with this dude who can make his hands glow. Daredevil's going to be like, I don't know what glowing is. I'm blind. Which he could see before, so he does know what glowing is. But, like... at some point, you pick up the phone, you're like, just so you know, this is happening. If you're involved and we're on the outs, I'll get out. You're more equipped to deal with this than I am. if you want, because you know what's going to happen in the Defenders, fucking Matt Murdock's going to be like, why didn't you call me?
I hope he does. God, hope right. Or Foggy will say something like that.
Yeah, because right? Foggy keeps it real. He'll be like, why didn't you fucking call Matt? He fights ninjas.
Right.
All the time. Why didn't you call Frank Castle? He would have had this wrapped up in four episodes. We're going to China to like fight a League of Ninjas and get Madame Gao. I know a dude who loves mowing down ninjas. Like, gets off on it.
Is Punisher part of the Defenders?
Sort of. He's like getting his own show.
He's not part of the Defenders in the way that like Doctor Strange wasn't part of the Avengers, but he's about to be.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, these ninjas and this chick who gives, you know, people cancer for fun, like, all right, like maybe he could step in for a hot second and take out.
What I want to see is...
Oh, you've been alive since the Revolutionary War, at least?
Yeah.
I was tortured 300 years ago.
Yeah, something call about Castle. 1700s.
Yeah. Let's call Castle.
I
want to
see a scene in the Defenders where basically Frank Castle comes in not too dissimilarly from Ice Cube.
Oh,
and Triple X, the Return of Xander Cage.
Punisher,
you sort of know what's happening, and you're like, okay, there's a lot of chaos happening.
Look,
boom.
When they're all like is she lying? I don't know. She could be saying anything. You're one phone call away from being like, I know a dude who will find out the truth.
Yeah, right.
Castle,
yeah.
Hello, Frank.
Oh, you can't kill them? I know a guy.
We got an immortal ninja chick who is poisoning kids with drugs. Just yeah. So you know, we think there might be more to this. We can't really get some answers out of her because she's being like crafty. Maybe you could, I don't know, rip off her fingernails one by one or whatever it is you do.
Whatever it is you do.
Look, well, you also have to understand that Claire was the one who was very much like, no, we can't hurt her. We can't. We're one step away from waterboarding. Like Claire was the one who was trying to keep it civil, and like, yeah, Frank would have totally
crossed. Yeah, okay, that could also. We're trying to keep it civil. I don't mean to cut you off, but this could also be used in the argument of why Claire didn't call Daredevil, is that she had been around Daredevil before. And seen him torture people.
And seen him kill, actually. He's killed, right?
Yeah. And well, I don't know if killed, but he's definitely made Nobu. People like...
He's tried to kill Nobu.
Yeah.
Does she know
No, he
that,
did
though?
Kill Nobu.
At least once.
Yeah.
At least once.
But she definitely saw him, like, drop a dude off a building or, like, kick a dude's kneecap in or something like that. She's seen him do some hardcore shit. So... It makes sense to me of why she's like, okay, this dude's being hardcore. I know if I call my buddy Matt, he's going to dial this up a little more.
I mean, Colleen's like doing full like 15 or like 540 twists on dude's arms, like shattering them into pieces.
Yeah.
So like it's yeah.
Yeah. So call the Punisher to kill the guy that you don't want, that none of you want to kill because it would like ruin your soul. So just call the fucking Punisher to do that instead.
But the Punisher in this situation is basically like the Smash Ball from Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah. From what
he comes floating in and somebody bashes him, and then you just have the Punisher in and
he
launches an RPG at the Purple Man or whatever said character you got to get rid of at that moment.
Mini rant. Can I say David Tennant should be more bad guys? Like, please make that a thing.
He was a pretty good bad guy.
He's been one of the best bad guys in the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Fucking
he's up there with Loki.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so good.
I like... Jessica Jones is my favorite Marvel Netflix
show. It was a pretty damn good one.
I like it more. The Daredevil fight scenes are badass, and I like Daredevil as a character more. I didn't know shit about Jessica Jones going into it, but that show... I love
breakdown.
That show.
Yeah, it was pretty.
How mental it is. Yeah,
that's
and
why
not
I like
mental,
Batman.
Like mental, like but, just mentally it fucks
that's
with you.
That's also
a little
bit. Why you would like Legion.
Okay.
Yeah, very same thing. Right. Yeah, Legion's great, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's very good.
Because I've always enjoyed the more intellectual side of superheroes, like the why they do it, as to like the day to day. Like I could care less about Monster of the Week. I'd much rather like see like a really really intelligent bad guy explore some
Magneto.
Really fucked up things or something like that.
Professor X
Magneto. I like my thing with Legion is I really like the idea of a character where it's a mental thing and he's not in control of his powers, so you explore the side of what's real, what isn't. And I don't know, that really interests me of just not being able to be in control of your own mind, but at the same time your mind is so beyond anything that anybody else can comprehend and the powers that it can achieve. So nobody can understand your mind. Only you can understand it, but you have to work that uphill battle and figure yourself out.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what we deal with on day-to-day anyway.
That's true.
Of like, you got to figure yourself out, but imagine having to do that, but you can effectively blow a building apart at a molecular level and not understand how or why.
Huh.
So,
fucking
I don't
crazy
know.
Crazy-ass shit. Yeah.
Like, I the idea of that is why I like that show. It's like... Not that he's blown a building apart.
But just,
or not,
yeah.
But, yeah, just the idea of that could happen. Because, I mean, day to day, us as humans, we got to walk through the world and shit happens to us. And we've got to figure out. And us all here at this table are pretty just fairly sane people that can acknowledge things in the world. Like, you know, I got to go to my job, you know, all this. But having to do that and question, like, I don't know if that was real. I'm just going to succumb to what is happening because I don't know what's real and what isn't. And my mind, if I get too riled up, I can blast that person into pieces and I don't know how I do it. So I just need to stay calm, placid, And just that whole idea.
If only there was some sort of school for gifted youngsters like myself.
That my dad created, but I don't know my dad. Yeah. Which I also, I don't understand really.
How does Xavier have a son?
Okay, so I'll get into this, and this is also for the listeners. If you've not watched Legion, go watch it. Legion on FX, it's got one more episode.
Oh, wow.
I can just marathon the whole thing then.
Legion is the name of a character. It's not a group of people in this case. Legion is a character. It was Professor Xavier's son, who also has telepathic abilities. But his abilities, and I don't know how close, they seem to be sticking fairly close to it, because they brought in a, I'm not going to spoil anything, because Jared, you're not caught up and you've not started, but the villain of the series is a long time Professor Xavier villain, another mutant, that can fuck with the astral plane. They have heavily hinted at it in the show that this is Professor Xavier's son, but in comic lore, this is Professor Xavier's son, and his power, like his dad, he's psychic and telekinetic and all that, but there's something where he can absorb other personalities, and he can only tap into other powers when he switches to these personalities. So in a very Ben 10, if you remember that cartoon, in a very Ben 10 fashion, he gets a watch where he can get different power sets, but his personality changes. So there may be things that he does or does not remember. And,
or just different tendencies that he may have that he normally doesn't.
So, you know, D&D reference here, he could go from, you know, good to, you know, just chaotic evil or whatever. Just
depending on whoever's power he's trying to turn on.
And he gets new power sets. And that way he's a little bit like Apocalypse was in the new movie, where he can sort of absorb new power sets.
Or like what's Siler.
And in the comics, he has thousands of personalities and Siler. Thousands of power sets.
Yeah.
So he's an extremely interesting character that's never really been focused on, and they've built an entire show around this premise, but it's entirely just psychotic, and there's a lot going on. There's some Shining in there, there's some Inception in there, just, and then obviously superheroes, but what I don't get is where it falls in it, because it's not in the X-Men continuity, but on some level, you're always going to have that X-Men continuity, especially because, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's Xavier's kid. Patrick Stewart's not shown up yet, but it's Xavier's kid.
Yeah.
Has James McAvoy?
No, but it's Xavier's kid. It is. Spoiler alert, they show the wheelchair. And you're like,
I saw the wheelchair in X-Men 3.
But you know the fucking, but who else has that X-Man wheelchair? Everybody knows the X-Man wheelchair.
Right.
So they
unless
show
you're
that.
Watching the animated series where he's riding that like yellow floating thing around.
Well, he gets the hover cart in the new movies anyway, but it's still like very distinct X-Men hover cart.
Yeah,
you know, but so it's in the show. It's definitely Xavier's kid. But even if they're going, you know, they've said that it's not in the current X-Men canon, but still, you have that backstory of it's Xavier's kid. All this. So if Xavier exists and is old enough to be this kid or this. Kid who's maybe 28 in the show, somewhere around there, then Xavier has been old enough to have created, and if Xavier, the villain they introduce, it's a long time Xavier villain, so if he's defeated this guy, Xavier created the School of Mutants,
in
Westchester, so that I see no other logical way where that did not happen in this universe. So
okay. I
mean, there's no reason why it can't be canon,
but
right?
They don't talk. But then they talk in the show like they don't know about mutants necessarily.
I don't think. Well, no, they are. If it's a
no,
Fox,
they seem to.
If they it's do, a Fox but it's like series, it's then, like
yeah,
a
they,
super
it's not
secret.
Like an M word or anything.
Fox
like,
owns
yeah, no, it's not even that at all. Like, no, I'm not. Allowed, I'm not like, even postulating. I know all that. I'm not even postulating that at all.
Okay.
Because it is Fox. I'm just saying, they've come out and said that it. It
mutants
is not
aren't
in
an
the
established
current,
thing in this show, is what you're saying.
Yeah, is they've acted, but the only people that know about mutants are the mutants themselves, or these like secret government agencies.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that if this is
if
Xavier's
smart,
son,
they have
which they've
nothing
they went,
to do with the movies.
Well, that's what they're saying is they have nothing to do with the movies.
Good.
They've said that the producers have straight up said that they
but
have nothing
Brian
to do
Singer's
with the movies.
Bryan Singer's name is all over it.
Yeah, but anything X-Men for until Bryan Singer dies is going to have Bryan Singer's name on it.
That's true.
And whether he's involved or not, just it will.
Royalty checks.
And So what I'm saying is the producers have said that this has nothing to do with the X-Men continuity in the films. It's its own thing. But they've set up that this is Xavier's son. And this being Xavier's son, he's 28. So, and with Xavier having defeated this villain, Xavier definitely, there's no other way for him to have done that without setting up the school for mutants.
Okay.
So
you have seen more of
but,
the show too.
But the fact that they never seem to mention, like, oh yeah, there's this really well known and publicized school for gifted youngsters up in Westchester, New York. It right. just seems odd they don't mention that. And even if it's a Logan situation where mutants kind of died out, so to speak, and now they're back on the
depending
underground again,
on the
it's
comics
still weird.
Version of it, half the like the humans don't know about Xavier's school for gifted youngsters. Because otherwise fucking Stryker and everyone would be bombing
yeah,
it pretty
yeah.
much all the time. Like, he does his
yeah.
Xavier thing,
but, like,
and
yeah,
makes
Deadpool
people
knows.
Forget. And, well, Deadpool's a different story, but like yeah. he makes normal people forget or not know where it is. Like, that's sort of his thing. That's why they're safe there, because if everyone knew where it was, they'd be bombing the shit out of it. And that's why, like, he's got to go find mutants and be like, hey, bring it to my school, because if you could Google it, like, parents would be like,
yeah,
shit, I have a mutant kid. Let me drive him up there real quick.
Although, on the other hand, it's got a big fucking sign out front, too.
Yeah, but if he does his Xavier thing,
yeah.
he's like, oh, it's either forest or there's nothing.
He could do it like the back of that Nazi truck in the or the commie
yeah.
truck in the first
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, that's
where
true,
just
where they just don't
like,
even see him.
Yeah, if you're not a mutant, you don't even see it.
Yeah.
You know, like Hogwarts. Like, if you're a muggle, you don't even see that there's a Hogwarts castle.
That's
pretty much.
True. Fair yeah. enough.
He's so, a class 5 mutant.
But
yeah,
still, it makes no sense, because in the show, they've established, like, the designing women lady that's on there, which that may be a reference nobody here gets, but
Delta Burke.
Somebody's listening. No, not her.
That's all I got.
Another lady. But she's on there, and she seems like she would know, because her husband is super psychic, and she seems like the type of person that would know about another mutant school. But maybe not. You could definitely make the argument that nobody knows about Xavier's school. So.
All right. Hmm. Do you brought another beer over here too, didn't you? I see you.
Yeah, I did actually.
Sorry to sway things real quick.
I brought a Terrapin.
We need to wrap up quick anyway.
So. Okay.
Liquid yeah. Bliss chocolate peanut butter porter. Always one of my favorites. I just love the. It always amazes me how you can get different flavors into beer, and the fact that it actually has, like, chocolate and peanut hints to it is incredible to me.
It's pretty damn tasty.
It is nice and dark, and it's good. It's good. It's a porter. You know, it's dark. It's fancy, schmancy.
It tastes like a Reese's cup.
Yeah, it kind of does. It kind of does.
Did I tell you the new beer that I'm starting to brew is going to be a dark chocolate mint stout?
No, that sounds awesome.
And when we brewed it on Saturday, it had a much higher gravity reading than I was expecting.
Mm.
So it's starting at, I think it was 1075.
Oh, nice.
Instead of like 1040-something or 50-something, which is where we've most
yeah.
of them have been. So it should be, what, 7.5% by the time
I
it's done?
I changed up the base malt recipe for the walnut one I did and used hazelnuts this time so I wouldn't get tired of it. And it overflowed again, just like last time, so I know I'm on the right track.
So what gave the higher ABV there?
To his?
Yeah.
Oh, all the extra malts.
All the extra malts. I used 8 pounds of malts, and
you started going down a path of, that sounded like my stout, and I was like, mine was super weak. Don't do this. Add more.
And then you did what, Alan?
I redid the black walnut brown ale, made it more brown, less black, and used hazelnuts like I had originally intended before I got drunk, and picked out black walnuts instead. Because I didn't want to get tired of it right after finishing it, so. And it overflowed again, just like last time, so I know I got the exact same gravity reading.
Yeah.
It boiled for too long. I think I lost some water. I didn't want to add too much. Mm-hmm. So it's like 4.5 gallons instead of 5. Still overflowed. So if I'm going to keep making this, I really need a bigger container.
It's angry.
Yeah. This yeast was just mad.
Yeah, it's clawing
to get
out.
What if you just like, can you duct tape down the top?
Sure. If
or
I wanted.
Or
if you wanted to like explode.
No, it came up out of the top was secured. It came up out of the bubbler hole.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And sure, then it's a ticking time bomb, and it won't just overflow nicely.
In my house.
It'll overflow
bigly,
angrily.
If we're going to use bigly, a presidential
even more
term.
Angrily.
Yeah, bigly and with a vengeance, and let Morgan upstairs know that this has, in fact, overflowed when it hits the ceiling.
Yeah, we don't want that. I'd rather it bubble.
Is it going to be like Mentos and
Diet Coke? Yeah.
Just like, whoa!
If we tried to seal it off entirely like that,
a depth
it would be
charge.
Disastrous.
Yeah, it would be a bad idea.
Destroy the sheet.
That would be a pretty
big
mess. No, we don't want that.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to lose that much beer.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So much cash.
Well, I'm going to close this out here. Hang on, I took a picture of some Riverside events, but I'm pulling that up. Do you guys have anything to plug while I'm pulling this up?
Follow me on and at everything, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, at Shadow Leader. The icon's the same. The name is sometimes spelled differently, like a 4 and 0 instead of an A and O in Shadow, but it's fine. You can figure it out. If not, Google it. It's fine. If not, if you don't care, that's cool too, man. I'm not going to blame you. Who the fuck am I?
You're with Brewchat.
It's true. It's true. I am on Brewchat. And also, thank you guys
for
having
the second
me.
Time.
Once
yeah.
again.
Yeah, yeah, you survived.
I always have a blast doing these with you guys. So appreciate having me on and sharing such intellectual conversation about both nerdy and beer things.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys got anything? Or
I think I'm good.
Yeah.
Good, yeah.
We got Bruce Guy's coming up.
Yeah, Bruce Guy's coming up in 2 weeks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be down there with
we'll be
beer
giving out beer
and cameras. So.
Yeah, beer and cameras.
Yeah, come check that out. I wanted to say for Riverside, this Thursday, they've got the day this comes out, a vermouth tasting with Mac.
Ooh.
That's going to be 4 to 6 p.m. And then Friday, we've got the usual growler promo. And, you know, they'll have deals on growlers and whatnot. And good people will be there. Good people
Ooh.
Is good beer. And that will also be 4 to 6. And
that's
then Saturday.
That's where you won a medal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did. I won a silver with my black walnut brown ale.
Yeah.
It's
and it is good beer. I was drinking all day
beer.
There.
Yeah.
It was great.
No one stopped me.
Definitely good beer. And then Saturday, they've got their weekly wine tasting.
Damn. They do that. That's true.
And then that's 4 to 6 p.m. And then they've got Dark Horse Brewing.
Ooh.
Will be 15% off.
Nice.
All
That's
day.
Good to know.
So get down to Riverside.
Really
last 3 days of the week, they kick some ass and give you good deals and all sorts of good beer and good booze. So make sure you get down there. But yeah, this has been episode 61
Word.
Of the Ooh. Brew Chat Podcast.
Cheers. How do you say cheers in Japanese or Chinese or something?
Kenpai. Kenpai!